Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Like the show, then tell a friend. Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I don't think that we're in crisis mode at this point. To me, what I would project this is happening is probably they're going to figure out a way to get him a raise this year and get him into camp and then let him be a free agent with no opportunity to franchise him. That's my most likely. That is a prediction, but I figure that they will somehow figure it out. To me, Stephon Gilmore needs to get into camp and convince the Patriots that his torn quadriceps, that was surgically repaired, is fine. But his leverage is, Steph's is, as you guys know, for the Patriots defense to succeed, it needs a Tlaib, a Revis, a Law, a Samuel, a Butler, or a Gilmore.
Tommy Curran from Last Hour talking about the Patriots as they're in the throes of mandatory minicamp. 1202 Gresh and Keefe with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, the Odyssey app. Good afternoon now as we've crossed over to the old network stations down in Providence, Springfield, Keene, Worcester, Portland, and the Cape. And I guess it really is what it comes down to, as we've discussed, is how do the Patriots feel about Belichick? But I will tell you one thing about
Gilmore.
But yeah. I will tell you, there's one thing I do disagree with on Tommy, and that is there is no way, I think, a to-be 32-year-old corner is going to put a clause in there that you can't franchise me.
meaning like you'd take the franchise at that price. Yeah. I mean, look at what they do. I don't think the Patriots would franchise a corner
If he were 26, okay, I could see him being like, no, you're not going to franchise me. Or if he were Brady, like that was in there once, it's like, no, you're not going to hook me in on the old franchise tag.
Because Brady really wanted to go somewhere else. Right. But I don't think Gilmore really does. He just wants the money. And so a franchise tag is the money. So I'm with you on that. The whole franchise thing, you don't want to do that. I could see there being like the void year type of thing. So the Pats get something back with their cap space and they can maneuver whatever a little bit.
All right, so let me ask you this then. Would there be trepidation from your end if they decided we're going to have Gilmore this year and next year, meaning that you build a 3-year deal and the dummy year isn't next year, but it's down the road? And again, this will be a descending player. So at some point, we know the money will go down, but can they find a way to meet in the middle without doing something stupid, like here's a 5-year extension and you're like the Redskins cutting Deion the next year?
Because that's what we need to figure out on Gilmore's side.
Right.
Is he adamant that he gets more money for this year, or is he adamant that he gets a new long-term deal?
Like, does he want to play 2 or 3 more years here? And if so, where does that sort of rubber meet the road?
Because I think maybe the happy medium is, all right, we'll give you more for this year. And then we'll figure it out. And so we don't have to give you more, but we're going to give you more for this year. Yeah, you want a 3-year deal? Well, you know what? You played 11 games last year. You have a healthy year. We'll come back to you. But he knows how old he is. He knows the position he plays. Like, I just think that would be so much more difficult if he's like, I want a 4-year deal. Like, wait, what? You want a 4-year deal?
Right.
But if he's like, I just want $5 more million this year. I want to be in the top, you know, I want to move up and be more comparable. I don't need to be the highest paid corner. I understand that, you know, how old I am and the season I just had. So there's a big difference there when you sit down and negotiate with 4 years or just 1 year and a bump. The 1 year and a bump, I think, should get done. They have all this extra cap space. It's just for this year. Then he's a free agent and you can, you know, either move on, or if he has a great year, negotiate again.
The one thing that is good for Gilmore right now is that Belichick, at least on the outside, doesn't seem to be upset. Like, we're not getting bad body language in a press conference. We're not getting terse answers yet. We're not to the point to where it feels like it's ugly. And I can understand from the Bill end,
yeah,
like, in the back of his mind, there's the football guy. Because the business guy we know is tough, he's hard to deal with, and he's a dink. Get it? Should be? Got it. But the football guy in him is going to be like, okay, what do I really want out of this guy? Right? Like, what is the real, how do I balance this? Because if we're looking at these 2 years before the cap goes up as its own little two-year window,
yeah,
and then you're almost resetting 2 years down the road, it would, in a way, make sense for Bill to say to them, okay, let's tack on a year and figure it out. And then you have at least a reasonable number to be able to keep the guy that hopefully everybody would be happy with. But that's where, like, that's where I'm a little freaked out on this, in that it's a torn quad, it's a major muscle issue, it's a leg with a corner, and Lord knows Belichick, as great as Brady was playing, was like, yep, he's going to age out.
Yeah.
So I wonder what the football mind of Bill Belichick is telling him right now about what he really thinks he can get from Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, because I wonder if he's thinking down the road and he says, you know what, if I do agree to a two-year deal, maybe he plays one more good year, and then I can actually trade him for something. And so it's not just a walk year and he's gone. I get more than a comp pick type of thing. So he has a lot to weigh in on all of that. And again, not that you want to start ripping up contracts for everybody, but he's not just everybody. You know, he's defensive player of the year. I know it was 2 years ago, but to me, he's also still your clear-cut number one corner. And for a team that did so much in the offseason to beef up all their front guys, their pass rush, their linebacker crew is completely different. And I think you need him, and he knows that. And that's why he can kind of sit out. And it's interesting again, because Bill was asked about him, and he says, I don't anticipate him being here. So there's been communication, clearly. Either him straight up with each other, I don't know how that works, or if it's the agent or what it is, but there's obviously been communication. He's not like, I don't know where he is, I don't know where he is. But he quickly follows up with his standard, we're talking about the guys who are here.
Yeah, yeah.
But before he said that, he did answer the question in a way, because the question was, is it an excused absence? And he just says, I don't anticipate him being here.
Yeah, we don't. I don't expect him to be here. And we'll just focus on the guys that are here.
And but he not, said that in a very nice way.
Yep, he did it very straightforward, but also not answering the question. Because the question was, is it excused?
Mm-hmm.
His answer was, he's not here.
Is this an excused absence?
Yeah, we don't. I don't expect him to be here.
But not even the answering the question, right? So I don't know. Again, it's June 15th. It's mandatory.
We are not yet, and yeah, we're not a critical mass yet, clearly.
But also, you don't, if you're Stephon Gilmore, do you sit out the mandatory minicamp, not get a new deal,
and get then fined?
Show up, right. Get fined. And like, if you get fined, does it make you come back? Or if they don't fine you, are you like, oh, that was nice of them, so I'm going to come back? Like, I think this is how it starts, but it doesn't end until the contract gets tweaked, at least in my mind. I mean, unless he has, I don't know, does he want to go the Le'Veon Bell route, the Logan Mankins route? You don't want to go the Melvin Gordon route. I think that was one of the shortest, lamest holdouts of all time. Like, you got to figure out what you're willing to do and how likely it is for you to get a new deal.
The 207 on the text said, I see Gilmore being a viable replacement for McCourty at free safety as he gets older.
I don't know. A lot of corners have moved to safety at the end of their careers.
I don't rule it out on principle, because I think the role of what Devin McCourty does, I think it's changing. There's much more of the center field element to what he does now,
yeah,
versus, hey, you need to go up and tackle a guy in the box who's 230 pounds running right at you.
Right, but also a guy that is just a center fielder. I know McCourty makes good money, but a center fielder versus a shutdown, lockdown corner, there's a different price tag.
Right.
You know, and if Gilmore wants to get paid like he's a corner and then you move him to safety, then there's going to be issues there too.
Well, and that's a part of the, if we're going to extend you, what is your role here in the future? That would be the only way you could go down that road, is it's an open discussion and, okay, it's a real 3-year deal, but oh, by the way, we kind of know where you're going to move afterwards. Because if Gilmore is going to hold on to the top, top, top number, that's when I think this gets ugly. How about you get some numbers?
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
This hour's code word is poem. Text poem to 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Do not text and drive. Again, that's poem to 72881 to have the latest chance at $1,000. Don't forget, you can watch this show, weei.com/watch or twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. We got one person who wants in on this. We got somebody who wants in on this. It's 617-779-7937. Alex in Holden on Gilmore with Gresh and Keefe. Hello, Alex.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, good, friend.
Good. Hey, listen, I got a couple of things. First on the Gilmore thing, we need to get rid of this guy. I mean, I'm sorry. He's great. He's the defensive player of the year, but he's hurt. He's never there when we really need him. He only played, what, 11 games, if I'm not right, last year, and then when we needed him.
Yeah, but what about the two seasons prior to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, why give him the money? We didn't give it to Brady. We didn't give it to anybody else. I mean, this guy's like, he's done.
So well, he's the number one corner still, isn't he?
Based on what? The way I look at it is, you can be number one, but if you're not on the field, it doesn't matter what you are.
So that was just last year, so that's his whole career and the rest of his career based on just last season?
No.
And if it was out there, what would that have done? Where would they have gone? What do you mean when they needed him? They were 7-9 last year.
Look, Alex, I'll help you make your point here.
Yeah, that'd be great.
No, because it can't be, well, 2 years ago you were the defensive player of the year and you were compensated as such.
But you can't say he's never been there when you needed him.
Well, that's obviously, I disagree with Alex on
that.
That's, I mean,
that's
no,
I
the guy's been
to.
Fine.
Yeah.
But to say, well, he was defensive player of the year, therefore he got a bump. Well, this past year he was hurt in 11 games, so why is $7 million so bad?
No, it's not. He just feels like there's a lot of corners making more than him that he's still better than. Even though his play did take a step back, but again, it's of course it's going to take a step back. Corners rarely win the Defensive Player of the Year award, so he wasn't going to be better than he was in 2019. Doesn't mean he's still not one of the best corners in the league.
Like if this guy went into free agency with a torn quad, 30 years old, it would have been rough for him in free agency with some teams because it's, well, you're a corner and you're over 30 and you got a big injury.
Yeah.
So that's
a tough
part
age,
of,
right.
See, that's the thing. That when I said earlier about, well, we could cut you and I know your reaction, I understand it, but that's also the leverage of, okay, Stephon, if you were out there and you tried to sell your wares to someone else, you're relying on what happened 2 years ago to have someone give you top dollar.
Well, he'd get more than $7 million.
You're getting paid pretty decent now. If we sweeten it a little bit, okay. But that's the thing. If we look at 19 and say he was great, he got the raise for 20. Well, last year was five less games and a major injury. Why is $7 million so wrong when you knew that was the number when you renegotiated last year?
It's just a position, though, that is so valuable, and guys worse than him get paid more than him. And even coming off the year where he missed a bunch of games and coming off a year where I thought particularly early in the year, he wasn't his normal self. He had a couple of pass interference penalties, and he got beat a couple of times. Whereas when he came back later in the year, before the injury, he actually started to look like himself again. And so I think even based off of that, you don't even have to point to the 2019 film. You can point to enough games from last year to say that if he was just a free agent, some team would pay him more. I mean, there's always dumb teams, first of all, but some team would pay him
I'm glad you said it that way, because that's something that Bill normally doesn't engage in. He doesn't react to what the dumb teams do.
Well,
and
look,
that
at this
would be
off-season.
One of
what
those.
Are you talking about? Nelson Agholor for $11 million?
Well, again, well, let's see. I mean,
it just feels like it's dumb. I don't think you look at what Agholor and Bourne made on the first day of free agency, and then you look at what other receivers made after that, I think you can still say it's dumb.
And that's the other point of all of this, too, is that we're looking at a contract that this guy signed 5 years ago. And at the end of it, it's like, wow, my God, these other players and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, that's the league. Like, there was some corner 5 years ago who said, Stephon Gilmore, come on, I'm better than that guy. And he went out and got $65
million.
His name
was Malcolm Butler.
Like, this is the league.
He couldn't believe it.
Like, I think that's the part where people, and even some of the textures are kind of jumping in. I know it's been the Shime Love Fest, so I don't want to ruin the text.
He needed that.
He needed some love.
Right day.
But it was the, you know, it's the whole, hey, man, like, you signed the deal. They've done things for you in the past.
Yeah.
What is the issue?
It's just for me, the NFL, I don't have that same real philosophy with the, you sign a contract. Like, all right, well, then tell all the teams that cut their players that you signed a contract. Well, it doesn't work that way in the NBA. It's not the guaranteed money that it is in the other sports.
No, it's very true. There very much is a sing for your supper mentality in the NFL. And the players don't fight hard enough when they have the leverage. Like, Gilmore last year should have held out, because that was when he had the leverage.
Like, well, he sneaky
now
did hold
different.
Out, and he got
no, but I'm talking, like, for a much bigger, not a one-year kiss, but if he wanted this addressed in a way that made him happy this year, last year was the time to hold that contract gun to their head and say, you really, especially with Tom Brady leaving.
But I guess that's how the two sides were able to come together for last year was, all right, we're going to make it better for this year. You'll feel like you are more respected and paid like the other top corners are for this year. But
then you want to double dip now and have it both ways off an injury year.
I think it'd be naive to think that either the Patriots nor Gilmore and his agent didn't leave last year's negotiation thinking we will pick this up again next year. I don't think they're like, hey, great, and the $7.5 million, we'll take it. Right? It's not like he needed the money up front. He just thought he was worth it.
And if that's right, that's why Bill can look at him across the table and say, I don't have to do anything, because look at your year last year. Because I agree with you. They gave him a sweetener off of the great year that he had. Last year wasn't that.
No, but then he can also say, all right, well, look at the year that Jonathan Jones had and all these other corners that are on the team. And if you want to roll those guys out against Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, God bless.
Like, do you think this guy will hold out? If they hardline him, is this guy going to hold out?
And so if they don't touch the contract at all?
Right, they tell him, no, we did it last year. Yes. We're not going to do anything.
Yes.
Because I don't. See, yes. That's where.
Yeah, I do.
I
think he's been in the league long enough. He knows how important the next year or a couple of years are for him to make money, that I think he would.
Mm, that'll be interesting. Yeah, I don't think it's ever going to get to that point. I don't think so, but that's the real look from Belichick. It's like, hey, what are you really willing to? And we said it with Rodgers, too. Like, Aaron Rodgers has bitched and moaned, and you know what he's going to do in training camp? He's going to show up. He's going to show up. Now,
well, his part's weird, though. Like, Gilmore wants more money. I can wrap my head around that.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers wants a change in philosophy.
Yeah.
How do you get that without being there?
Or go to a different team. Like, is he almost saying, I want to change in philosophy?
Right. Like, are you demanding a trade? Like, Watson demanding a trade. I get that. Aaron Rodgers, it's similar to Russell Wilson. Like, what do you want? Like, you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. What do you want? And then that kind of just fizzled and kind of went away. And now Aaron Rodgers is in the same boat. Like, just tell me you want money or a different team, because I can get that.
Oh, Big Russ, by the way, is now telling people that the story was overblown in the offseason.
You had a list of teams you wanted to go to.
Thank you very much. I think that's exactly what a reporter asked him. Okay. And he was like,
I don't know how you got that list, but that is for sure the teams I would go to.
What he should have said was, hey, I don't know what my agent talks about sometimes. Those are conversations. He doesn't update me on everything.
Agent, then.
Well, it's the whole you kick it down the road.
Yeah, for sure.
I know that there is a lot of consternation in the world of Big League Baseball over sticky balls.
Yes.
And that pitchers with these sticky balls apparently get better spin rate and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you've been thinking about this, especially with Alex Cora. I dig this.
Because there's an Alex Cora element to all this, obviously serving the suspension and then coming back. And everybody's saying this has been a big emphasis in baseball really the last couple of weeks. It's picked up a lot of steam. The Red Sox are by no means the only team linked to this or having it suggested about their pitchers, except they had a rotation which at the beginning of the year on paper was not very good. And for the first couple months of the season, they were pitching great. Especially all the guys besides Rodriguez were pitching great. And then this last week it's kind of fallen apart. And some of the conversation I heard a little bit today on the Greg Hill Show talking about, you know, can a Cora team be doing this, or how does it fall onto Cora with everything? To me, isn't that part of the reason why you brought Cora back? Because this guy can find unorthodox ways to win. He's not going to do the trash can camera bit anymore, but I hope he's cheating. I hope he's still manipulating the game, manipulating the bait, because he knew his rotation sucked. He had to find a way to do it. I hope he's the one that said, here's what you do. get this. It's not even Bullfrog anymore. What is it? The Spider Tech. Lotion yourself up.
That would be awesome if they called it Spidey Sense.
Yeah, it's tingling. Get him out there on the mound. But I'm just like, you had over the last 3 or 4 years in baseball, one of the biggest cheaters, a guy who manipulated a World Series, and you brought him right back. The first day he was eligible, you brought him right back. So lean into it a little bit. You kind of get what you get with this. Because I think it was Curtis suggested. He's like, well, if they find out that the Red Sox cheated, you got to fire Cora. I'm like, fire him? What are you talking about? This is who the guy is. This is in him. I want him to find the next thing. That's what I said. I remember even arguing about it before when they brought him back. I'm like, well, I bet he's going to have something else up his sleeve. And they're like, no, he's going to play it straight. Why? Don't play it straight. You won a World Series cheating. The Red Sox apparently weren't cheating. They won a World Series, right? Even though he just left Houston.
Right.
And now this team is playing way over their heads. You got to figure out a way to win. It's professional sports.
And I also think that the actual cheating counts in that what they did in banging trash cans and stuff. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah.
There are 30 teams in Major League Baseball right now who have a pitcher that is putting goop on the ball.
And if you're
that is very different than what he came up with in Houston.
It is. And also, if you're going to be like, you know what, we're not going to do it. And now all these other teams are throwing no hitters and you got these scrubs with a 3 ERA, but your guys are getting shelled all over the park. Like, you got to, unfortunately, you got to kind of keep up with it. And I know you're like, hey, why can't they just all play it straight? I think, unfortunately, toothpaste is out of the tube on that one.
Well, like, and you know why? Money. Because money, players want to make money, and you do it by putting up good numbers.
Yep.
And if it means for, if a pitcher in the final year of his contract, like Eddie Rodriguez should be putting everything on the ball that he can to be able to make it dance and move so that he can get a $100 million contract.
You can't get caught. It's like with anything else. You just can't get caught. That's the thing. And the pitchers, I think, had enough. They've all been doing stuff to the ball, but now they've gone overboard. But it's in response to Major League Baseball taking the steroids out of the game for hitters, but juicing the balls up so they would still hit home runs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the pitcher's like, all right, what's in it for us? We're just getting embarrassed out here, giving up these, 500-foot dingers. We got to do something. So they started to cheat. And again, it's not ideal. You would like them to be able to just, hey, you pitch it, you hit it. Everybody just go out there, lift weights, do whatever, be in shape. But that seems like it's too far gone. But I just think that's who Cora is, and you might as well embrace it.
Isn't the other part of the conundrum in all this, too, is that normally it's the manager that calls attention to someone doing something nefarious.
Yeah, now they can't.
So, yeah, but the other thing, too, is the managers are all colluding in all of this, right?
Yeah.
Like, look what Michael Pineda had to do before somebody could be like, all right, like,
dude,
he's, come
hide
on.
Hide it. Just pat it on
he
his neck.
He walked out with a bucket of it practically. Like, you know what
did
I mean?
Did you forget that it was there? And, like, it's
And that's where the managers are all doing the whole, like, three blind mice, See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. They don't know anything, but they know that one of their guys is doing it too, so nobody blows the whistle on anyone. But in reality, the people that are probably the most complicit in all of this are all those managers who are scared to blow the whistle on anybody else because they know it's happening on their team.
Oh, 100%. And the same thing happened, a couple years ago when it was Red Sox, Yankees, Astros, and they were all cheating on each other. And they're like, do we say something? Do we not say something? Like, we really can't because they're going to look in our dugout. And we all have these cameras set up. We all have these different ways of relaying the signs. Like, what a mess.
Isn't it unbelievable that those three teams, right? Like, when you think about it, and if you extend all the way back to the teams that were and weren't roiding, like, just go look at, I think it's Rick Honeycutt in, 1988 with the Oakland A's. Go look at that guy's quads.
Oh, yeah.
He is Saquon Barkley.
Is he?
And he was like a 34-year-old white relief pitcher. And
it
didn't
such
look
a
right.
It's such a mess, though.
It really is.
It really, like, every team's doing something. Every player seems to be doing something.
And at this point, unless it's blatant to where someone has to say something, I don't care.
Should have just left the roids in. They kind of figured it out themselves. Pitchers were on it. Hitters were on it. Yes.
Get rid of the synthetics and go to everyone can have a certain level of, you know, HGF. Yeah. Or really, you know what they should do?
Right.
Do what the NFL did. Because for years, the baseball writers would always complain, well, the NFL's got more steroids in their game. Da, da, da. You know what they did? Yeah. They were smart about it.
Yeah.
They said, well, it's up on these T levels. And it could be manipulated to fly under the radar. And baseball wouldn't have had any of these problems. And not for nothing, baseball, but when you're commissioner for 30 years has
Loved
worked
it.
His whole life to scrub the blood of the steroid era off of his hands instead of saying, yes, I got filthy rich off of it. That created a firestorm from the public because Bud Selig was literally standing at your front door peeing on your shoes telling you there's nothing to worry about.
Like, oh, okay, this is fine. Yeah, no, I don't.
That didn't help.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But again, they can't be obvious about it because then that ruins it for everybody. And that was the same thing going back to when Mark McGwire had all that stuff in his locker. And one of the writers was like, well, what's that? If he didn't have that there, we saw him every day. We saw Barry Bonds' head growing. We saw Sammy Sosa go from like a speed guy to like a 70 home run guy. And we're like, oh, this is fun. And then there was one guy that was like, what is that, Andro? What do you got up there? Hey, Mark, what's this? And then people looked into it, and then the next thing you know, they're on Capitol Hill telling you that they didn't do anything.
A simple label turn, right? Like, just turn that bottle
around. Put a hat on it. cover it up with a hat. Nobody's looking
at it. Put it in an empty bottle, whatever in the world it is.
Yep.
Oh, we have more of the old peeing on your shoes and telling you it's raining coming up from the Olympics. This is a good one. Kiefer Madness is around the way as well. Shime, I know you're getting love. Are you starting to feel better as 3T is showering you with love right now?
Yeah, I appreciate the people, you know, reaching out. It's
good.
Nice.
Everybody has a tough day, you know?
Yeah, you know, every once in a while.
Do we get the lunch situation squared away? You okay on that?
Did you order something?
No, I haven't yet. I haven't really been able to decide what I want to do. And
it's the worst, isn't it?
You even sounded sad-faced when you said that. Did you hear him on that? I haven't decided what to do either.
Somebody asked me for my Venmo, too, so that they could pay for my lunch. And, like, I feel bad.
Guess I'm too dull to be around.
Shime, you take that. You run to the nearest place with food, and you buy it. That guy's throwing you a lifeline.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Ron Renicki's back? Relax, Ron.
Not much of a house.
Oh, is this one of
just right for not much of a donkey.
This is a new show or a new show, new dude.
Yeah,
who's this? Yeah,
that was Red Sox interim manager Ron Renicki.
Well, we used a jackhammer at first, but that went out of style very quick after one press conference.
Yeah, I could understand that. And yes, Ron was pretty boring, but hey, he did yeoman's work here. So
he did.
A tip of the cap, I guess. Right. There you go. All right, here's Shime with trending.
Back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
Kiefer Madness.
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe is a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Okay. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness with Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I bring it.
Again, I encourage all businesses that are allowed to open to do so only if they can follow the guidelines to keep West Virginians safe. Today at our news briefing, there was an audio glitch, and it sounded like that I had said a bad word. A word that I would never say, nor have I ever said. No possibility in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
Here you go. It is noon 30 on a Tuesday. Time for Kiefer Madness on Gresh and Keefe. That the voice of Jim Justice, the governor of West Virginia.
My favorite governor of all.
He is a wealthy man, too.
$1.8 billion and owns the Greenbrier, which I went to like
outrageous.
2 years ago.
Outrageous.
Oh.
The richest man in West Virginia.
And that doesn't take much.
No. He and the Wacky Whites or whatever, that documentary. I don't know if they're up there. But
right under Jim Justice is the king of meth.
I was going to say. So that was from earlier, like last year that came out.
Yes,
and we
was,
talked about it on the show. And I don't know what's more outrageous, him saying it was an audio glitch or him saying he's never said that word ever.
Come on.
Ever. He's 70 years old and has never once said the F word. Okay. Sir, it's absolutely outrageous. So nobody buys him on that. But guess what? He is back as the state of West Virginia, as Massachusetts is as well. We're going to get into what Massachusetts is doing here in a second.
Oh, boy.
But they're trying to give some incentives for those to get vaccinated. Not everybody wants to get vaccinated, right? Just listen to the morning show. And so there is an opportunity to maybe entice some people with certain things. So,
and in the state of West Virginia, they need to do this.
And so let's hear what the governor has to say, Jim Justice.
We're going to give 5 custom hunting rifles and 5 custom hunting shotguns away.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah!
All right! Sign me up! Sign me up!
On Father's Day.
Oh, nice. So that's coming right up.
Oh, there
that's
you go.
That's right around the corner.
Hey,
that's
Dad!
Sunday, right?
Guess what I done one! Walks in the front door with a 12-gauge. Nothing bad could happen in Meth, Virginia with someone getting like a 12-gauge shotgun.
You won't get COVID after that vaccine, but you will get two to the chest.
You might bleed out, but you won't have COVID while doing so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We're going to give 5 custom hunting rifles and 5 custom hunting shotguns away.
All right.
On Father's Day.
Got it.
And also on Father's Day, we're going to make one of you a millionaire.
What?
How do you like that? A millionaire. So now you're going to have somebody run around West Virginia with $1 million.
We're going to give away $1 million to somebody on Father's Day.
That's this Sunday, by the way. That's coming right up.
That's it.
That's it?
And then we're going to continue that right along.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And this is for all people that have been vaccinated.
Pretty good. Anybody's been vaccinated. So even if you got vaccinated early, although I don't know, imagine that was the case in West Virginia, but even if you did, you could be in the mix for this $1 million or the cut. Let's not forget the custom rifles.
Now, according to governor.wv.gov, Justice is underselling it because apparently the grand prize is not only $1 million, but there's more money added to the pot. I hope he gets
really?
To it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What about?
And 5 custom hunting shotguns.
Well,
away.
There
you
is
mentioned
that.
The custom shotguns
oh,
as
yeah.
well. Now, he does get into, they need to apparently name the state vaccine lottery. You need to name it something.
They have to name the lottery?
Yeah, you need to name it something. And so he has some on that.
We have struggled with, you know, what are we going to name it? What are we going to name it and everything? And so what we said before was, you know, if you can't do it for yourself, you can't do it for your family, you can't do it for your friends, do it for baby dolls.
Do it for an old wrestling manager from the NWA in the 80s, baby doll?
Baby doll? No,
do
baby dog.
Baby dog?
Baby dog.
Baby doll.
Baby doll, right, who was married to Jake the Snake's brother.
That's
at one
right.
point.
That's right, yes.
Sam Houston.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nicola Roberts is the woman who played Baby Doll, yeah. who was yeah. in the old NWA wrestling in the mid 80s.
She looks like she's had some life experience if you see her now.
She's big.
Yep.
If you can't do it for yourself, you can't do it for your family, you can't do it for your friends, do it for Baby Doll. So we're just going to call it that. We're going to call it Do It For Baby Doll. And we're going to put in quotation marks what Nathan said before, and that was, he said, save a life, change a life, you know, or change your life. Save a life, change your life.
This guy's a mess.
I would say
this
so.
Guy is a mess.
It sounds like a different planet. Like, this guy, it's a United, it's a state. He is the governor of a state in the U.S. of A.
That's his English bulldog, by the way, is named Baby Dog.
Do it for my baby dog. Right.
Anybody who names their animal just the name of the animal and it wasn't named by like a 1 or a 2-year-old, a red flag.
So are you condemning me for my cat's name is Kit? Come here, Kit. Kitty, kitty. That's it. We call him Kitty.
No, because Kit's a name.
Just... I named my fish Mr. Fish one time.
Yeah.
How old were you?
9.
Too old.
Horrible name. I had a pet snail, Rich. Can you guess what its name was?
Snail.
It was Dr. Legs.
Slowy.
Stop. All that's horrible.
I also had a fish named Scales once. Ironically, lost all his scales and then died.
Mm.
There also aren't any baby dogs. They're called puppies.
That's right.
It's very simple. They're puppies.
Well, I don't know if you have it, but he had a hunting dog that he wrapped into all the...
No. What do you have?
Oh, he did, because there was... When they went to the slide video, they showed the hunter. When we're getting ready the hunting rifles, they showed a hunter with a dog, and he goes, back up. That's my dog right there. And, unfortunately, ain't doing too well, and we're going to move on before.
Like, really?
You would have thought he was going to get, weepy because there was a picture with his, and that might have been baby dog. I don't know.
Could have
been.
Roasted.
Of course, my motto.
Save a life, change a life. or change your life. Save a life, change your life.
Change your life. That's right. Man, who never said the F word in 70 years.
He never has. Not once in his life.
Now, by the way, they're giving this is the way the governor's office positioned this, is that there is a $1.588 million grand prize, but the second prize is $588,000. I'm way lost on what Jim Justice said. Yeah, he might have undersold his own people.
I think he may have.
Because he's trying to win it.
He's already got almost $2 billion. By the way,
he didn't need it.
How tall do you think Jim Justice is?
I can't answer this.
You know the answer?
No, I've actually seen him
5'3".
One time.
5'3".
All right, that's Shyam's guess.
I was going to say 5'2".
Oh, no.
He's 6'7".
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
And every bit of it.
He's a monster.
I've seen him. He is a large. Yeah. I'm 6'5".
Saw him in the locker room like Aaron Baines.
He is a large human. Yes.
He's a big
all of Australia.
That's right. When they had the Jerry West Invitational down there at the Greenbrier, I was in there checking out the old hog meat.
By the way, great for that. That's good.
Grandfather clock.
By the way, This just into the news desk. Beginning July 1st, Massachusetts will open up a vaccine lottery for fully vaccinated residents, giving folks a chance to win one of five $1 million prizes.
$5 million?
Much better name for this.
Begin late July and continuing for a month. Hashtag VaxMillions. Also, you need to be 18 plus to win the million. But if you're in that 12 to 17 group, which also can be vaccinated now, five people in that age range will win a college scholarship. So there you go.
Where did the state find $5 million to be able to give away? And old Jim Justice, when he said
probably
this out,
findmassmoney.com.
They have, very good.
Probably.
They have the same thing in West Virginia where you can get scholarships too, except Jim Justice said you can go into one of West Virginia's institutions, to which someone said, really, Jim? What kind of institution are we talking about here?
If Massachusetts wants to sweeten the deal, though, I got an idea.
What is
and
that?
Five custom hunting shotguns away.
Not bad.
That'd be good for New Hampshire, right?
Uh-huh.
Western Mass might be in on the shotguns.
They'd be in on that.
Eastern Mass would be in on the money.
I think they'd be in on that as well.
So what do you have better odds of winning now, Rich Keefe? Do you have better odds of winning the vaccination lottery, or now that the spider tech is going to be off these balls, your no-hitter might be screwed?
I have no chance. I thought I had a chance at the no-hitter, but if they're cracking down on these guys, no chance. None chance now. So I might try to register for this million. What the hell not?
Do you have to go register for it, or is it people who are you automatically in if you've got the shot?
No, I think you have to go buy a ticket. You buy
a lottery
ticket. They have the other half of it, so they read the number. Yeah. That number's the winner.
So is this more like a 50-50 raffle like you see at hockey games?
Today at our news briefing, there was an audio glitch.
It's unbelievable.
And it sounded like that I had said a bad word. A word that I would never say, nor have I ever said.
Right.
No possibility in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
Rich, do you know anyone, do you have anyone in your life who has never said the F word?
Never. Nobody.
Me either.
I can't think of a single person. Although, my daughter, I don't think, has said it yet.
Well.
But that's
only
clock's
a
ticking.
Time, yeah.
That clock's a ticking.
Wait till she overhears you playing online video games.
Well, I was just
would. I mean, she repeats everything now, so it's only a matter of time till someone says it in front of her that she'll then check her off the list.
I didn't hear my mother say that word until about 3 years ago.
Really? What was? Yeah. Oh boy,
25 years.
Wow.
I always thought your name was son of a bitch.
No,
yelling at you.
She just never swore. She, was just
she saw Shyam's third nipple and she said, "What the f is that?"
Yeah. Oh, there you go. It could be that third nipple deal. Shyam's having a bad day. I don't want to make
fun come on. Let's
not. It's okay. Making fun of me makes me feel better because feels normal, you know?
Well,
on
good.
Father's
sense
day.
Of normalcy.
Okay.
On Father's
Day.
So basically, on Monday, we need to be on the lookout for some hayseed hillbilly who won themselves an upgraded shotgun that ultimately bucked a family member or shot someone on the side of a road or something like that.
Right. I think so.
We need to ask Wiggy about this.
He spent some time in West Virginia.
That's right. Sure. He is a hillbilly, and there you go, man. I love Kiefer Madness. My God. Jim Justice is made for Kiefer Madness.
I would imagine, yes.
Imagine if you were the governor here. Oh, how much fun would we have?
That'd be pretty good.
There you go. There's Kiefer Madness, Dork Podcast, WEI.com. The folks running the Tokyo Olympics have said something that even Jim Justice wouldn't say. You can't sell what they're selling next.
Save a life, change a life. You know, or change your life. Save a life, change your life. We're going to give 5 custom hunting rifles and 5 custom hunting shotguns away on Father's Day.
Like the show? Of course you do.
I hate this guy.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Here on Gresh and Keefe, WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. And, you know, the Olympics are coming up, Rich. I don't know if you're excited about it or not.
I am. I'm all in on Olympics. I know it's pretty much, you know, you're either in or you're out. There's very few people that are kind of half. Like, I get excited for it. I look forward to country versus country athletics. It'll be the one time in 4 years I watch swimming. The one time in 4 years I'll watch gymnastics, all that stuff. So I am in.
Well, we know that for anybody who's followed the Olympics, the Olympic Village is like Caligula.
A bit, yeah.
When it comes to a lot of the old horny porny that would go on between these athletes who have, and look, I'll never take anything away from an Olympic athlete. It is grueling to train for that, and you literally have to nail it. Like, it's that proverbial one shot, and you're working your whole life to try to win a gold medal. However, once you're done with that, you need the release, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
the sweet, sweet release.
All kinds of sex going on.
Correct.
And the Tokyo Olympic organizers are trying to divert, in my opinion, they're trying to divert the attention of all of the massive sex that goes on between these athletes by saying that the handing out of condoms, which, by the way, has been a tradition at the Olympics since 1988 in order to raise awareness for HIV and AIDS.
Right. And I also feel like, real quick, that it was probably about 12 years ago that it really became
a
talking point.
Yeah.
Like, 10,000 condoms or like whatever it is, 100,000, whatever they put out there. And everyone's like, oh my God. And like, now we kind of get it. But so you said they started in 88, but it was probably like 2006 or whatever the Olympics were, right around there, where it became like a talking point. Yeah.
And it was like the way greenies used to be in big league baseball. We used to be able to go in and be like, oh, let me take a greenie and get yourself up for the game.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, there's a bucket. You walk in
and up for the game.
You grab a condom, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the old wrap that rascal. And so now since it's been exposed for what it really is, the Olympic organizers are saying, the distribution of condoms is not for use at the athletes' village.
Oh, don't use them there.
But to have the athletes take them back to their home countries to raise awareness on various things that you can
catch. What we want you to do is you take one condom and you put it in your wallet and you wait till a very lucky lady comes into your life, and then that is when you use it and you're prepared on a date.
When she knocks your socks off.
Nobody's doing that.
Well oiled.
First of all, I don't know how many of them are using them anyway, but second of all, they they certainly aren't taking them home. Like, what are we doing here?
Bring the condoms home. We encourage the bailout method here at the Olympics.
I mean, got a Team USA jacket. I got a gold medal and one condom. This is what I take home from the Olympics. I had a hell of a time.
And to be honest, with all the other contraceptives out there, I highly doubt any of them are.
They're
really
not doing that.
Caring about
they're
not these.
Even, they might be filling them with water and throwing
69
them at each other.
Isn't what 69 used to be.
Okay. Add it to the mix.
But I mean, come on, Tokyo Olympics. What are we doing? You can say, okay, it is really for blah, blah, blah. But let's not downplay the fact that as soon as a lot of those events are over, they're not leaving the country. They can't wait to go out, to like go to the quad of the whole Olympic Village and just raise their hand and be like, who wants some?
Who's in? I'm ready. My event's over.
Apparently, even like, I guess everybody in the Olympics,
because this
like
is
they're
what it
all
is.
Just doing their like it doesn't matter what you look like, you could have a hammer thrower with a swimmer,
but that's five guys.
It's the best, most in shape people in the world are all together. You eliminate the fats.
I didn't
and not
think
to shame
that.
Anybody, but you get all the fats are gone, so everybody in there is in their athletic prime.
And feeling good about themselves.
And I mean sexual prime as well. Yeah, they are all in there and they say, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. And I've never met somebody from fill in the country. And I'm going to sort of introduce myself to someone from that country and that country and that country.
Is Bud getting laid?
I think everybody's
Mary Decker. You
know what I mean? Doesn't matter. That is the place to be and the place to be seen.
Do you think Usain Bolt had like choice? Or was he like,
oh, I'm sure
bring them to me?
Yeah, I mean, I think some it might be a quantity over quality situation. Others, the reverse. I don't know. I've never had the opportunity to be in Olympic Village, believe it or not.
That is fascinating.
It is. I think there's a 30 for 30 to be told there, but it's got to be on like HBO. ESPN wouldn't be able to air it.
Dark Side of the Olympics.
There it is.
Yeah. Vice, get on it.
Vice needs to send a camera crew over there and get some confessionals. Yeah.
Because you know... You know there's secrets being held by someone somewhere, right?
Oh, like, yeah. And we would be shocked, I think, by some of the activity over there.
I won't get into specifics.
Yeah, I'd like specifics.
I would, too.
Give me all the dirt over there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So come on, Tokyo Olympics. Be better than that. Andy Hart from Pat's Camp and some news from around the NFL. Final Hour, Gresh and Keefe next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.